Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
If all of us stay together and remember to keep the main thing, and that is to restore the great legacy of the beautiful Buckeye State. If we stay together, we will win, we will succeed, and we will send the message to the rest of the country that it is different in Ohio.
Well, it is different in Ohio. It's because they have a new governor as of today. That's Republican John Kasich, as he declared victory in November. Today, Kasich will be sworn in as the new governor of Ohio. We continue our series about incoming governors across the country and how these governors could possibly change policy and politics over the next 4 years. Kasich begins his tenure with a political flourish. He's rejected federal money for the proposed high-speed rail that would link the state's major cities. Joining us now is Dr. Jason Johnson. He's a political science professor at Hiram College in Northeast Ohio and politics editor for The Source magazine. Good morning, Jason.
Glad to be here.
You know, we've selectively chosen a few incoming governors to profile in this series. And I'm wondering what you think of the choice of John Kasich, especially considering the fact that, you know, in one sense, the population of Ohio has been shrinking a bit. You lost a couple representatives in Congress. Is Ohio no longer the bellwether state it once was?
It may not be in a relatively short period of time. John Kasich really has his work set out for him. And the very reasons that he, Strickland, the loss of 400,000 jobs over the last 4 years, might be the very same thing that puts him out of office. So, you know, Ohio is really in a state of flux right now. It'll be interesting to see over the next couple of years what he's able to do to bring it back to prominence politically and economically.
All right, well, let's talk about the economy that you said could derail him. And it's funny to use the word derail, because one of the first things he's done is to reject any federal money for that high-speed rail line in the state of Ohio. Does he have different ideas on how to fix the budget deficit there than say, in other states?
I think that was one of those sort of national political decisions that didn't have much local relevance. The truth of the matter is, Kasich, like a lot of conservative Republicans, says that taking too much federal money is irresponsible. Now, the fact that California and New York are perfectly happy to take that money may be something he looks back on and regrets, but he seems to believe that the way that you can improve the state of Ohio's economy is by cutting spending, lowering taxes, and scaling back on things that have already been scaled back upon. So things like public schools, public libraries in the state, that he really just fundamentally did not believe that a high-speed rail was going to improve the economy, regardless of what the business community tended to say.
And Dr. Jason Johnson, if you'll forgive my cynicism here, I know Celeste doesn't. John Kasich, I've actually known him for a long time. He used to be on MSNBC quite a lot as a sort of a television commentator. He had his own show for a little while. Loved being on TV. He went to the investment banking community after he left the House of Representatives. I'm just wondering if there's a certain amount of cynicism in Ohio that this is how it works. You go into politics, then you get on TV, then you go get some money from the investment banks, then you come back and you're governor. I mean, I could be talking about Democrats or Republicans, but this looks like a revolving door that makes me kind of sick.
I mean, you know, can a state get any more cynical when they have the Cleveland Browns and LeBron? I mean, you know, Ohioans are pretty cynical in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, the reality is what has happened politically is really a reflection of the long-term cynicism and frustration. Look, if you look at the fact that Ohio just lost, you know, two congressional seats, and that's going to be a big fight over the next year, the state has been losing population for two decades. The Rust Belt lives and exists in Ohio. So while John Kasich is really just an example of some of the most negative things in American politics, the revolving door of politics and TV and money, as you mentioned before, people are desperate. And they were frustrated with Ted Strickland. Ted Strickland had higher personal ratings than John Kasich, but he couldn't overcome the fact that 400,000 jobs disappeared under his watch.
Interesting.
Well, one of the things that Kasich is doing, which is also right in line with other incoming Republican governors, is he appears to have the pensions, the benefits, and the salaries of state employees unions in his crosshairs as he tries to grapple with the budget. How's that playing in Ohio?
Oh, it's playing terribly. It's playing terribly. Look, one of the issues that has really harmed the state is the lack of employment that even the state provides. And this is one of those things that I think is a mistake that Kasich is making coming right in. A lot of people are concerned about it. It is the job of a president to create jobs by stimulating the economy, by negotiating with other countries. It is the job of a governor to attract jobs. You can't really create jobs in Ohio, but you can go to Fortune 500 companies and tell them to locate here. But if you don't have strong government infrastructure, if you don't have good public schools, if you don't have good public works, if you don't have functional highways, nobody wants to relocate here. So his plan of coming in and saying, I'm going to slash this budget and slash that budget and get rid of all these quote-unquote lazy state employees, it's not playing that well. And it's going to continue the brain drain that's been hurting the state for 20 years.
All right, Jason Johnson, but it sounds to me like you're saying that it doesn't matter who is in that governor's seat. There's really no win situation here.
There are ways to win. I just don't think there's a way that John Kasich's going to figure out soon enough. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if another 400,000 jobs are lost and Kasich ends up being kicked out in 4 years, I wouldn't entirely blame him because globalization is one of the things that's hurting Ohio. But what he could do if he wanted to improve things is invest in what is already in the state. You have Ohio State, which is one of the most prestigious and successful universities in the country. You have Case Western University right up in the Western Reserve in the Cleveland area. These institutions produce hundreds of thousands of brilliant students and patents and ideas every year, and they leave. And they leave because they aren't being told that there are opportunities in the state.
Well, you've got the Cleveland. You've also got the
gave people reasons to stick around. That would be something he could do to improve.
I think he's still talking about LeBron.
I don't think that's on his agenda.
Well, you started that list, but that's actually a long list. You got the Cleveland Clinic, which is a huge healthcare corporation. I mean, it's not just Ohio State. The entire Columbus, Ohio area is a high-tech corridor. You've got a lot of prosperity in the south, the west of the state, in the Cincinnati area. Aside from Dayton and certain parts of Cleveland, you know, Cleveland could be a great narrative if someone would put it all together.
Exactly. And this is why it should be kind of interesting. This is the rumor that's going on right now. There's a race right now to see who's going to end up improving these cities first. And what I mean by that is right now the rumor is that Cleveland might actually be the location of the Democratic convention in 2012. That would literally dump Democratic Party money into revitalizing and exciting that city. That's not something that Kasich wants to see happen. He doesn't want to see Cleveland get back on the map because Barack Obama is going to be making a visit in 18 months. So, you know, there are pockets. There is something to be proud of in the Buckeye State. It's just a matter of, are we going to have a governor that's going to focus on improving what's already here or cutting back what he sees as the problem? And I see right now he wants to cut back on problems and not improve what's already existing.
What do you think his time window is, Jason Johnson, that he has before people start talking about him as a one-term governor?
Oh, I'd say the time window is about 18 months. It's you know, he has to establish that there is going to be some radical or at least demonstrable change in the state of the economy and the overall morale of the state soon. And what I see right now in the short term is if he can initiate some of these tax cuts and policies, and if he can bring in one or two major companies, people will be impressed and he'll get an opportunity to succeed. If he doesn't, and if the best thing that happens in the state in the next 2 years is that the Democrats come to town and Barack Obama gives a big speech, yes, John Kasich will be looking for another job in 4 years.
Dr. Jason Johnson, professor of political science and communications at Hiram College and politics editor for The Source magazine. Thanks so much, Jason.
We leave you with some sound from a vigil in Tucson, Arizona, for the victims of the Saturday shooting.
Today. In your name we pray. Amen.
People were crying, coming up to each other and expressing anger and shock, and yet we were all coming together.
Our thanks to our partners, the BBC, for that tape from the vigil in Tucson. Tell us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.